I kind of set the message up this morning by speaking on Elijah and about how God impacted his life when he was at his lowest ebb. But I haven't got time to go through it again, so you'll have to listen on the podcast. And then I went on to say that when God came in his life, everything changed for him. And then to ask the question, so if we want God to encounter our lives, how does that happen? Because if we're saying, well, one touch from God changes everything, and it does, and we need lots of those touches to keep changing everything, our family life and our business life, how do we kind of open ourselves up? How does God come and impact our life? How do we put ourselves in that place where God can impact our lives? And I shared the big two this morning, which if you're taking notes, and please do write them down. I shared this morning that we need to have a heart towards God. We need to have a heart that's passionate for him. And the thing is, you don't need to be a Christian to have a heart towards God. We met a pastor when we were in Bulgaria a couple of weeks ago called Pastor Harry and his wife called Penka. They work with, in the southeast of Bulgaria, particularly among Muslim villages. They live in a city, and then in these about 500 Muslim villages, they're trying to reach for Jesus. And they were telling us some amazing stories, which we haven't got a chance to talk to you. But I just want to mention one. Some Muslims have a heart towards God. They don't know it or how that looks like, and they're is it once restricted and trapped by what they know and the information that they know. But God comes through when people have a heart towards him. And they were sharing with us some of the stories. And one particular one that I really remember is he said that they bump into Muslim people who have had dreams, visions, as it were, of somebody called Jesus. And this particular person had a dream since we're just in their early teenage years. And they were now in their 30s. And they'd had these dreams for almost 20 years. And they were saying to this pastor, well, it's really nice to see you, but the biggest thing that's worrying me is I keep having this disturbed sleep because Jesus keeps showing up in dreams. Wow. Who is this Jesus person? And obviously the pastor said, well, let me just tell you a little bit about who Jesus is. And as soon as you heard who Jesus was and what he did, it's like, well, I want to follow him. I want to follow Jesus. And you know, actually, as people of God, we need to have the same heart towards him, because when we're like that, we're open to receive encounters and touches from God. And then I also shared this morning that the other big thing we need to do is once we've found Jesus, we need to actually follow him. And I say, God isn't looking for perfect followers. He's looking for followers who'll do their best to do what they know they already know to do. That they'll do their best to do what they already know to do. Does that make sense? And God loves imperfect people who are trying their best to follow him. That's it. So if you're an imperfect person, you're in. And that's all that God wants, as long as you're following him. Now, what I want to do tonight, if they're the big two, is look at the lesser four. Is that all right? The lesser four. And these aren't any particular order, but I'm hoping that you'll get this idea that even though God can supernaturally break through at any time in your life, because he's God, right? He doesn't really need your permission. He doesn't need to come and ask you. He can do it whenever he wants. But there is places and positions that we can put ourselves in so that we can encounter God more often. And I think God actually expects us to do that, as well as just expect him to miraculously break through, which he wants to do as our Father. Anyway, so if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, I will quickly pray while you find it, and then we'll crash on. Father, I thank you that you love us, that you are our Heavenly Father, and you long to give us an abundant life. Not a life without hardship or life without pain or suffering, but an abundant life. A life that flows from the inside out. So there's a joy and a peace and a hope and a knowledge that you use everything for the good of us and for your kingdom, Father. And Father, my prayer is that each one of us here, each one that hears this message, would understand and live an abundant life by saying, God, we want to encounter you over and over again so these touches may change things and situations for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 18, verse 2, we read the story of somebody who's really quite desperate. And in my Bible, it talks about a sick woman, but she's sick in a particular way. She's been bleeding heavily for years and years and years, and she can't seem to stop this flow of blood, and she's desperate. And I'm in the wrong one. Luke 18, verse 2. Are you following me? Good, sorry about that. The persistent widow. Luke 18, verse 2. It's a story of the persistent widow in my Bible. And Jesus is trying to teach the disciples something really important. And so let's read from verse 2. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. But there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And then the Lord said this, listen to what the unjust judge says. And then he says this, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. And we put ourselves in a place of encountering God where we just keep asking. We just keep asking. As long as we're asking for something that's within God's general will, obviously saying, God, you know, I could do with £10 million and a private jet and a mansion. God might say, well, you might get it, but you might not, because it's not important. Or if you're asking something that's wrong or evil, but if it's in God's general will, Jesus says we need to keep on asking. In Matthew 7, he says, ask and seek and knock. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking, and keep on asking if you get justice. And we need to keep on asking God, keep putting ourselves in, as it were, in that place when we're talking to him, that he can come and encounter us. And I want to suggest that you begin to develop something in your life. And I would call it just brief chats with Jesus. There's a time to have a quiet time. You kind of go away and you kind of set aside 10 minutes, 50 minutes, half an hour. Whatever time you've got to say, this time is with God. And I'm going to listen to him and read the Bible and that kind of stuff. But in everyday life, we should be communicating with Jesus regularly. If we're going to encounter God in every area of our life, we need to be communicating with him in every area of life. If you're a teacher, you should be communicating with Jesus at school. If you work for the NHS, you should be communicating with Jesus while you're in the NHS. If you're a dentist, you should be communicating with Jesus while you're drilling people's teeth. Please do that. That would be good. And don't close your eyes while you're doing it. No, that would be really bad. When we're being parents, we should be communicating with God about our children. When you're a student, you should be communicating with God in the lectures, saying, God, I want to encounter you here. Because Jesus, you're with me. You've promised to be with me. I want to be open to an encounter now. Now, personally, I'd say, please don't make it too weird. I just want to, because that'd be funny in the lecture theatre, for example. But I want to hear your voice. I want to hear purpose and meaning. I want to feel your peace and joy here. I want to be open to your encounter. And so many of us, I think we keep spiritual things in spiritual boxes, and the rest of the time we don't live in that spiritual box. And that's not the way our life is supposed to be. You could be a financial planner. You need to bring Jesus into the financial planning meetings. It doesn't matter what we do, we should be talking to Jesus often. We need to learn to chat to Jesus throughout the day. Now, for some of you who've never done it before, it will feel really weird, right? Hi, Jesus. Feels a bit weird being here with me now, but I just want to say hi. I'm here, if you want to say anything. But actually to develop that, and for those of you who do it, those of you who try, what will happen slowly but surely is you'll begin to hear the voice of Jesus in everyday circumstances. His direction, his love, his comfort, his calling, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. You begin to feel his presence and know that he is with you. And all it is, it's nothing, it's not super duper spiritual or anything. It's just literally begin to develop. Hi, Jesus, welcome here. Thank you, Jesus, for being with me. I'm listening. If you want to say anything, do me. And for some of you, it'll transform your lives if you'll just persistently keep asking, Jesus, I'm here. Jesus, do something. Jesus loves to respond to prayer. Now, it says in Matthew 6, verse 7, Jesus says, don't babble to God. So don't babble. You don't need to babble. Treat him like an ordinary friend. Nice, brief sentences. You don't need to say lots of stuff. You just need to continue to communicate with him. So, first one of my lesser four is just keep asking. Well, let's go back to Luke 8, which is where I started, unfortunately, and which is entitled in my Bible, as you already know, The Sick Woman. So in Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start reading at verse 40. This woman had been, she'd been ill for many, many years, and she'd been bleeding, and she didn't know how to stop it. We know in Mark that she'd spent all that she had on doctors and specialists in that time in history to try and stop this bleeding. And she was desperate. And we read what happened. It says this in verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And so Jesus' disciples and the great crowd of people set off with Jairus to go to his house. This was the mission. This was the purpose. They were going to heal this girl. And you need to hear that. Jesus was on his way. The whole crowd were on the way. They were kind of on a journey. And then in the middle of, you get in the onward bit. Good. Jesus was on, when Jesus was on his way and the crowds almost crushed him, a woman who was there, who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and just touched the edge of his cloak, just touched. And in faith, she thought, if I can just touch even his clothes, perhaps something will happen. Just touch the edge of his cloak. And immediately the bleeding stopped. And I don't know anything about bleeding, so I presume you can tell instantly, right? None of the girls want to say. But she knew it would stop. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing out against you. Lots of people touch you. We have no idea. Then Jesus said, someone touched me. Someone in faith touched me. That's what he's saying. Somebody in faith had touched me. Because I know that power has gone out from me. And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she's been instantly healed. And then he said to her, and she must have been just blown away, daughter. Jesus called her daughter. What an intimate, amazing phrase to use. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. The second way to encounter Jesus is to put yourself in his path in faith. And those two things come together. Put yourself in the path. Put yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit's moving. Put yourself in a place where the Holy Spirit is moving. Put yourself in church, or put yourself in consciousness. Put yourself in connect group. Put yourself somewhere where the people of God is gathering and where the Holy Spirit's going to be present. Put yourself in the path of Jesus. And you can read it all over the place. Remember the four guys who dropped their friend through the roof, into the path of Jesus through the roof. The centurion that went to find Jesus because he had a sick servant, and he found Jesus and put himself right in the direct path. Jairus had actually just put himself in the path of Jesus as well. Put yourself in the path of Jesus and then believe in faith that God's going to do something. So there's two challenges, I think, in this one is, I come to church twice on a Sunday. Now, I know I have to because I'm pastor, right? So I do have to, it's true. But there was a day when I wasn't a pastor. I was just just like everybody else, and I wasn't paid to do this. And I still used to go to church twice on Sunday. Do you want to know why I went to church twice on Sunday? Because I believed when I went to church, I'd encounter God and something would change. That's why I go to church. I go to church even if you didn't pay me. Because I believe in the presence of God, in the presence of his people, God exists, and my life's going to get better because I'm here. And that's why we just encourage people, come to church as often as you can. Why? Because that's why you encounter God. That's where the people of God, the family of God are, and that's where you encounter. It's why we have small groups, so you can encounter God in those places with the people of God. It's why we say, you know, come to conference when we put a conference on, or we say, look, hey, we're going to Hillsong Conference, why don't you come down, and you've got 3 whole days to encounter God. Put yourself in places where you can encounter God. Spend some money so that you can encounter God. We spend some money to go and do sport. We spend some money to watch TV. We spend some money to do all sorts of things. Spend some money to encounter God on top of your gifts to him, to invest in yourself. And in that place, you open up the opportunity to God to do something amazing. And again, we were in Bulgaria last week, and DJ and Karen said, look, there's... They called him the minor prophet of Bulgaria, whatever that means. And DJ Karen said, you must meet him and he'll prophesy into your lives. And so, fine, we'll go and meet this guy. We put ourselves in a place where we could encounter God. I want you to know, we do it as much as we're encouraging you to do it. And we spend money to go and do it, as much as you will need to spend money sometimes to go and do it as well, to transport costs, food costs, all that kind of stuff. But if you want to encounter God, you need to put yourself in the place, put yourself in the path of Jesus. Number three, I'm not going to read these out, but they are both in Acts. Number three, remember Saul, who got changed, his name got changed to Paul. Remember him. Saul was the guy at the start of Acts that was supervising the murder of Christians. He was there holding the jackets of the people who stoned Stephen to death, the first martyr of the Christian faith. And he was enthusiastically, passionately doing what he thought was going to please God. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, he was enthusiastically doing good stuff. He was doing righteous acts. If you read chapter 10, you'll read that Cornelius was helping the poor. He was spending money to do good stuff. Yeah. These two characters got noticed by God. Both of them got noticed by God because of their passion and zeal. Cornelius' zeal was good. Saul's zeal was terrible, but at least he had some zeal. At least he had some action in his life. He was enthusiastically pursuing God the wrong way, but at least he was pursuing God. And I want to be really honest with you. If you want to encounter all that God has to offer you, you need to get noticed in the kingdom of God before him. You need to have passion in your life. One other thing the Western church is awful at is having passion for Jesus. If I went into your workplace and talked to your colleagues, what's the first thing that would come out of your colleague's mouth about you? What would be the first thing? Would it be Jesus? Is your passion, your zeal for Jesus so high on the list that your work colleagues say, that's the number one thing that identifies that person around here? His passion for Jesus. If we want to encounter all that God has for us, we need to make sure our zeal or passion for Jesus is huge. Cornelius, God created a whole set of miracles, sent angels, sent visions to Peter, got Peter from Joppa, 2 days walk he had to go to. He created this whole thing to make sure that Cornelius had a touch from God. Amazing, because of his passion. For Saul, God just went, well, I've got to sort this guy out quick. So he gave him a vision on the road to Damascus and knocked him off a horse and blinded him. He did the full works in Saul's life. Why? Because he was noticed by God for his passion. I don't know about you. I want to get to heaven. And I want, if God said, I notice you, Ed. You were making a difference for my kingdom on earth. I want people to know that I love Jesus and his kingdom. It's the most important thing in my life. Because it is. And if you love Jesus and you want to encounter all that God has for you, it needs to be so in your life too. Now, don't be super weird, please. I'm not telling you to be weird, but make sure your passion is shown. When people say, what do you do the weekend? Make sure Jesus is the first thing out of your lips, on your lips. Not the football, not your exercise, not your family. Make sure Jesus is first. You can then talk about all the other things as well. Oh yeah, I had a great weekend, went to church, it was amazing, encountered God. God said this to me. My family did great, I went to do some sport with my kids. You can do everything. Just make sure it's Jesus first. And before you do it, do what I said before. God, I need some help. I want to encounter you now because I'm just about to go and say something crazy for you. And you'll be amazed at what happens in your life. You really, really will. Let's not be Western Christians at Valley. Let's be Christians that don't care about being Western, middle class mainly, not all of us, but some of us, and kind of quiet and it doesn't matter. Let's be, I don't know, a bit more American or Australian in our Christian passion. Is that okay? You know, we don't always like people from other countries, but they do have some things to teach us. It's true. I'm not supposed to say that from the front. It is true, isn't it? No. You all love everybody. Is nobody going to agree with me? Dave says, just apart from French, he loves everybody. I want to encourage you guys, let's be passionate for Jesus. Let's make sure that God notices us. If you love Jesus, I hope you feel a bit challenged about that one. I really do. And then the final one of my four lesser things, and I'm sure there's lots of other ones, but I'm just going to do these four, is this. Matthew 14, there's one of my absolutely all-time favorite stories. And if you've been here long, you'll have heard me talk about it before. It's just so cool. It's just so cool. Matthew 14, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 and he wanders up a mountain and goes praying all night and he sends his disciples across Lake Galilee. And then towards the end of the evening, Jesus thinks, I better catch up with them. And so he sets off across the lake on foot because Jesus can do that, right? So he can. And on the way past the boat in the wind, the disciples spot him, and this is what happens. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Jesus immediately says to them, take courage, it is I. I love that. It's not a ghost, it is I. It doesn't even say it's Jesus, it's just it's I. And so don't be afraid. And then Peter said, obviously not sure that it was Jesus, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you onto the water. And Jesus said to him, come. At which point, all the other disciples thought that he was nuts. Because we all know that if you try and walk on water, you sink. Yeah, we know that, right? We know that. So, but Peter got down out of the boat, fixed his eyes on Jesus, and walked across the water like it was solid ground. I just love that story. I prayed occasionally, tried in swimming pools. It's never worked. But anyway. But if we're going to encounter God to the nth degree, we need to be willing to do anything. We need to be willing to do anything. Peter, though he denied Jesus, messed up somewhat towards the end of Jesus' life, though he was restored again. Jesus said about Peter, on you, the rock, I'm going to build my church. Why? Because Peter was the one who was willing to do anything that Jesus asked. Not just that, but asked Jesus if he could do some crazy stuff on top of what had already been asked of him. Because remember, Jesus didn't call him out of the boat. Peter said, can I come and join you? Can I come and join you? He was willing to do anything for Jesus. And I don't know about you, I would love at least a moment or two in my life where there's a circumstances and there's that sense in my heart and in my mind. I've known Jesus well enough and I think, you know, this is the moment where a super amazing miracle could happen in my life. It might mean nothing to anybody else, but to me, this could be the moment where I encounter Jesus like never before. Because let's face it, Peter would have never forgot those moments walking across that lake. Never, ever in a million years. Because you wouldn't, right? I would love, at least at one point in my life, to do something like Peter was. Not walk in water, it's been done, right? But something else. So amazing, so supernatural. A place where the laws, the physics that we know, are suspended. Because Jesus can do that. Because, and I hope and pray that I'll be willing to do anything. God wants to revolutionize each one of our lives. We often say the best is yet to come and we haven't seen anything yet. But that's only true if we allow our lives to encounter God and allow His touch to impact our life.